Well, good morning, everybody. We welcome everybody to our service this morning. Paul Greenaway is going to be leading our worship and is bringing the message to us today. And I now hand over to him, Paul.
Thank you, Adrian. I'm going to read a few words to start with from Philippians. And Paul says this, he says, "Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And we really just look forward to that time when everybody will just acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and their Saviour. And we just take up that theme now in our first hymn, which is, as you could probably guess, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow."
Join the meeting.
Right, let's just bring our time of worship now to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, this morning we just want you to acknowledge you as Lord of all. Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign God, that you are Lord above all things, that you are seated at the right hand, that you are seated in heaven, Lord, and your Son Jesus is seated at your right hand, and that you are surrounded, Lord, by the angels who are singing your praises. And we just ask, Lord, that we might join with all the company of heaven today to bring you our praise and our worship. We do look forward, Father, to that day when we shall be in heaven, Lord, just praising you constantly, day after day. But Father, in the meantime, we want to thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, that he is our Saviour. And by his blood, we are here today. And we thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, that he is the one Lord who sustains us in our faith. And we pray, Lord, today that as we worship, we might bring you our praise, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that we might know, Lord, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, working among us, Lord, as we meet together today. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of this service, for the technology, Lord, that you provided for us. We thank you, Father, that we were able to meet last week in the church. And we just know, Lord, that wherever two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. So be with us today, Lord. Draw us near to yourself. Draw us near to one another. So that we, Lord, might know your presence here among us. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to ask Janet now, who's going to bring us our first reading.
The reading comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. The question about paying taxes. The Pharisees went off and made a plan to trap Jesus with questions. Then they sent to him some of their disciples and some members of Herod's party. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you tell the truth. You teach the truth about God's will for people without worrying about what others think, because you pay no attention to anyone's status. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it against our law to pay taxes to the Roman emperor or not?" Jesus, however, was aware of their evil plan, and so he said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin for paying the tax." They brought him the coin, and he asked them, "Whose face and name are these?" "The emperor's," they answered. So Jesus said to them, "Well then, pay the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and pay God what belongs to God." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away.
Thanks, Janet. We're going to look at that passage a little while later. We're going to first of all have two songs, both thinking about our God and how faithful he is and how above all things in this world he is. What a faithful God have I, followed by Above All Powers.
Before your throne of grace, I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. In worship and wonder I behold your face, singing, "What a faithful God there I am."
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what and laid behind a stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. One of the programmes that Sandra likes to watch in the afternoons is Tipping Point. And the other afternoon, there was a question about how many old pennies there were in an old pound. And the contestants were so young, none of them had got any idea what it was.
Nor did I.
And neither did Sandra, actually. but I did. So it just goes to show that I'm beginning to show my age at the moment. But of course, our old sort of pound, shillings and pence was derived from the Latin, wasn't it? And the penny was derived from the Latin denarius, which is mentioned in the in the passage that Janet read a little while ago. And I thought we'd have a look at this this story this morning. It's the passage for the lectionary today. And of course, this was one of the trick questions that the leaders of Jesus's day used to try to catch him out. And in the this event, there were there were two groups that were trying to trick him: the Pharisees and the Herodians. It's quite unusual because Jesus had quite a few run-ins with the Pharisees, but not so many with this other group of people who were the Herodians. Of course, the Pharisees were the nationalistic Jews, the keeper of the Jewish law, and the Herodians were the leaders who supported Herod, who was the Roman puppet king, because if you remember, the Israelites, the Jews, were occupied by the Romans at this point in their history. And the question that they put to Jesus was, tell us then, what in your opinion, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And of course, if Jesus said yes, the Pharisees would condemn him because they didn't like the Romans very much. And of course, if he said no, the Herodians wouldn't like it much either. So Jesus was in a bit of a catch-22 situation here. And so he then picks up a coin. I couldn't find an old penny, but I've got a two-pence piece here. And it's quite interesting, actually, because all of our coins in quite a lot of other countries have the sovereign, don't they, on the head of the coin. And so Jesus asked them the question. He said, whose portrait is this and whose inscription? And they replied, Caesar's. And then he said to them, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And when they heard this, they were amazed. It's a very clever reply, isn't it, really, that that Jesus gave to them. And I don't think it's something I would have ever thought to say in a month of Sundays. But, you know, it's quite an important question, isn't it, really, as to where our true allegiance lies, whose laws, whose rules should we be following? And of course, as Christians, our ultimate laws and commands come from God. He is the sovereign power in our life, but we live in a physical world where we live, are subject to the laws of the land, and we have to pay our taxes, and we have to be part of society in which we live. And Paul in Romans reminds us that everyone must submit to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except that which God has established. And the authorities that exist have been established by God. And this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servant who give their full time to governing. And give everyone you what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honour, then honour. Adrian's put up a slide. I want you to think of two circles, one representing God's law and one representing our human laws, the laws that we that are made by people. And if you think about it, Moses was given the Ten Commandments by God. And this was the start of God giving us his laws and his commandments. And then later on, Jesus summarized them, didn't he? These Ten Commandments into two. He said, you shall love the Lord your God and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I think it's quite interesting, actually, that on the other hand, when the Pharisees got hold of the Ten Commandments, instead of simplifying them like Jesus did and giving us two very simple commands by which to live, they kind of turned it into about 613 other rules and regulations and commands, and actually made it a lot more complicated than I think God actually intended it to be. And of course, in the UK today, I was looking up, and there's absolutely thousands upon thousands of either Acts of Parliament or statutory instruments that we've got. And in the last 6 months, we've had about 500 statutory instruments actually being introduced into this country to deal with the coronavirus. And to be honest, it's no wonder, is it really, that nobody knows what the rules are, because there's so many of them and they're so complicated. But, you know, our laws, don't they? There's a bit of an overlap in many of our laws between what God commanded and what are in them as well. Things like not murdering people and stealing, false witness, things like that. But I don't know about you, though. I've noticed that over the years, and certainly in my lifetime, that many of the things that we saw as being part of the way that God's laws were have been eroded, haven't they? And things have crept into our laws, which I think as Christians, we have some difficulty in coming to terms with. Things like abortion, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, the things that children are taught in schools these days, And a lot of the things that, you know, are politically correct or acceptable to think or to say. And of course, in some countries, it's forbidden even to meet as Christians, to worship God and to have any kind of religious affiliation at all. So, you know, there are very much conflicts between God's laws and the laws that are made in our land. And I think the question for us as Christians is, should we follow all the laws unquestionably? And of course, Jesus is saying here that although we have an obligation to follow the laws of the land, the ultimate authority is God himself. And I think there are some things that in all conscience, Christians just, you know, they cannot go along with. And there's a line sometimes that we don't feel that we can cross. You know, if you look at the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you can see numerous examples of where people, believers, came into conflict with the authorities. You know, the Old Testament, for example, Daniel refused to bow down and to worship foreign gods. Elijah was threatened by Queen Jezebel and had to flee into to the wilderness after he had taken on the prophets of Baal. Jeremiah was thrown into a water cistern for his preaching. And of course, in the New Testament, people like John the Baptist, Paul, Peter, were all thrown into prison for preaching and for their faith. And Stephen was stoned to death. And in Corinthians, Paul lists a whole list of hardships and persecution that him and his fellow believers underwent for the sake of the gospel. And of course, Christ himself was arrested and put to death upon a cross. So I think all in all, there's a pretty good track record of believers who over the years have had to stand up for what they believe. And it's been quite difficult. And of course, in many countries today, Christians are being persecuted. There's an organization called Open Doors, which is formed from, if you remember the story of Brother Andrew, and it helps to support persecuted Christians across the world. And it's got a watch list of a number of countries, and North Korea is at the top of that list. And they reckon that in North Korea, there's an estimated 300,000 Christians, of which between 50 and 70,000 are either in prison or in labor camps because of their faith. You know, it really does make you think, doesn't it, about that. And I heard of the other day, there was a family in China who were deprived of medical help because of their Christian faith. You know, very often we look at these things and we think about the death of Jesus upon the cross and we think, you know, this is never going to happen to us, is it? You know, this is not a thing that will ever happen in this country. But, you know, I'm not so sure. I think we're entering a time in our history now where Christians are becoming under increasing pressure. You know, people don't like Christians anymore. We're unwelcome news, aren't we? And we're a threat, I think, to the way that the world is going at the moment. You know, for the first time in the whole of our history, we've had churches that have remained closed, haven't we, for many months. And it's difficult, isn't it? It's not easy now to meet together. You know, we've got all these rules and things we need to think about as to how we meet. You know, we're lucky to have Zoom, and it's great, isn't it, that we've got that. And last week we were able to meet in the church together. But I just wonder, you know, if suddenly the internet gets shut down, or, you know, we're not allowed to have Zoom services on Zoom anymore. You know, what do we do then? You know, it does make you think, doesn't it? You know, how things could happen. And, you know, it's happened in other countries. And could it happen in our thing? And the Bible teaches that things will get much worse, doesn't it, for believers in these last days. And it prophesies that there will be a time of trial and tribulation for Christians before Jesus returns. One of my favourite people from history is the famous, was an Anglican archbishop. He was an evangelical Anglican bishop of Liverpool, and his name was J.C. Ryle. Some of you may have heard of him. And I just want to quote you a couple of sentences from his writings, where he talks about this passage. He says, "No temporal loss, no civil disability, no displeasure of the powers that be must ever tempt the believer to do the things which Scripture plainly forbids. His position may be very trying, and he may have to suffer much for his conscience' sake, but he must never fly in the face of the unmistakable requirements of Scripture. If Caesar coins a new gospel, he is not to be obeyed. We must give to God the things that are God's." You know, it makes you think, doesn't it, really? You know, we do live in times where, you know, there's all these things coming upon Christians, and we must stand strong and decide, you know, what we believe is important and stick true to our faith. When I was writing this, I was thinking, well, this is all a bit gloom and doom, isn't it, really? And, you know, but I think sometimes we do need to have some difficult messages sometimes. There's a church I used to preach at, which is sadly closed down. And the church preaching secretary, when she rang me up, said, well, to be perfectly honest, we really don't like preachers that come and give us sort of doom and gloom messages. We like ones that, you know, only give stuff that's sort of nice things that sort of cheer us up a bit. And I can see now why the church is closed down, really, because I think you need a bit of both, don't you? You need encouragement and you need warnings as well. You know, God wants us to listen to the whole of the Bible, even though some of it may not be what we actually want to hear. But I want to leave you, though, today just with two thoughts, and just to remind us that, you know, however tough things get, however bad a place we might think we're in at the minute, God is sovereign. He's above all powers, isn't he? He's the one who's going to see us through all the difficulties of our life. And the first thing is that I believe we need to ask for God's protection. And in 1 John chapter 5, he says this. He says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." You know, God is there, isn't he? He's going to watch over us and keep us safe, even though pressures sometimes, like Paul, almost seem unbearable. And the second thing is, I think we must listen more to God's word, to listen to what God's saying to us in our current age. You know, we're all very fortunate. You know, we've all got Bibles and things, and, you know, Open Doors started because of Brother Andrew and trying to smuggle Bibles into China and other places. But, you know, if we're honest, we perhaps don't read our Bibles perhaps as much as we ought to. You know, we spend a bit more time perhaps on the internet or on Facebook or whatever it is, rather than reading the Bible. But the psalmist reminds us that blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it day and night. You know, we need to kind of let God's word sort of sink into us, don't we? You know, to be part of our lives, to kind of be part and parcel of who we are and what we believe and the kind of life that we have. You know, God's word is there to feed us, isn't it? You know, we say, give us this day our daily bread. And I don't think Jesus is just talking there about our physical bread, but about his word as well, because it reminds us he's the bread of life. And it also sustains us and prepares us for the things that are ahead. Amen. We're just going to spend a few moments now just thinking of others in our prayers. And then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. So let's just pray for a few moments. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and to thank you that you are indeed above all things, above all powers, above governments, leaders, wonders of the world, Lord. And you're, Lord, the only one that we can really depend on, the one that we can trust. Father, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we pray, Lord, today that we might, in these coming days, just really put our trust in you, to have our total confidence, Father, that you are a faithful God. Lord, we thought about those people, Father, in other countries who were really undergoing imprisonment and torture and persecution for their faith. And Lord, there are many, many other countries apart from North Korea that are going through difficult times at the moment. We do pray, Lord, for Christians everywhere that have been deprived, Lord, of their liberty and their ability to worship you. We pray for ourselves, Lord, and our church, Lord, here in Kingsthorpe. And we pray, Father, that you might make us strong. Keep us praying together, Lord. Keep us meeting together. Keep us trusting in you, Father, because you're the one, Lord, who'll sustain us and see us through to the end. Lord, it's great that we've got a Saviour, Father, who we can have confidence in. Lord Jesus died upon that cross. He suffered, Father, for our sins, so that we, Lord, might have that relationship with you. We just pray, Lord, that Jesus' presence might be made more in our lives. We just pray, Father, today for those who are in a bad place, those who are finding life difficult. We pray, Lord, for those who are depressed, those who are suicidal, Lord, at the moment. And Father, we've heard so much about people, Lord, that have taken their own life over these last few weeks. We pray, Lord, for those who are ill, those in hospital, Lord, and we thank you for the doctors and the nurses who are looking after them. For those, Lord, that are going for tests and for operations, Father, in the next few days, we pray, Lord, that you will be with them. We pray, Father, those who are fearful because of their jobs, those, Lord, that don't know where their next meals are coming from. But we thank you, Father, for the food banks, for the places like the Hope Centre and other places, Lord, that provide support, Father, for people in need. We just ask, Lord, somehow that in our limited way, we might just do the things that you want us to do, Lord. Your two commands are to love God and to love our neighbours. And Father, even though some of us are in isolation, some maybe, Lord, aren't meeting up with others in the way that we normally do, we just pray, Lord, that you'll give us opportunities to love our neighbours, even if it means perhaps a phone call, perhaps picking up some shopping for them, whatever it is, Lord, that we can do just to cheer people up and to help people in our own way. And Father, I just want to pray, Lord, that you might encourage us all. Help us, Father, to give each other now and again just that word of encouragement that we are praying and supporting one another, because we all belong to you, our Father God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And let's pray the prayer now that Jesus taught us together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn is, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Thank you, Paul, for that message that you brought us. It's given us lots to think about, especially at these times with all the regulations that are applying to us. As we pray, prepare to say the grace together. So we ask everybody to unmute themselves so they can. But just pray, therefore, my beloved, just as you always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And we say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
What?
Yeah. It went horribly wrong with Carey.
Come now to
hold on as long as it was, you know. We had a few technical issues at Carey today.
And I had to go upstairs and actually take over, and then I couldn't share the screen because I couldn't find where his folder was, where he put it.
Oh, dear.
Bless you.
We have some notices today. First of all, can I remind everybody that the clocks go back 1 hour next Sunday morning? So please be aware when you link up to Zoom that it will be an hour later if you don't put your clocks back as you should. The service next Sunday is going to be a virtual service, and Mark will be bringing us the message next Sunday morning. We are planning to have a combined service in church and on Zoom on Remembrance Sunday, which is the second Sunday in November. That's what we're planning towards. Obviously, it all depends on what regulations are changed or in place by the time we get there. But if you would like to come into church on Remembrance Sunday, can you please let Janet know so that we can manage the numbers coming into church? Are there any other notices anybody has for us this morning?
Only to say again, I did say at the beginning that we sent £137 to the Hope Centre, for those that weren't here right at the beginning, after the Harvest Festival. So thank you for all those collections, and the packets and tins and things went to Western Fable Food Bank. Thank you to Anne and Richard for doing that. And I've also, on behalf of the church, sent a cheque for £100 to the Manor House Trust. The deacons had a letter because they're, like everybody, struggling with finance. They are doing a lot of counselling online at the moment and are struggling. So I, with the deacons, after our discussion, we decided to send £100 from the Millennium Fund for that. So that has gone. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's my news.
Okay. Anyone else?
When does King's Kids meet?
Oh, I was just going to say that. Thank you, Norma. The next one will be the 8th of November, so the same. So the second Sunday of the month. But we obviously will be upstairs again, as the church is downstairs. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Trevor, can you remind me what the Methodist services are doing now for meeting physically?
Yes. Well, the first comment is that they've ceased doing the 9:30 service, so that there is a service at St Andrew's Church next Sunday morning, but that's at 10:30. So I think people need to make the decision on either going to that or joining the Zoom.
Yeah.
In the past, with the 9:30 service, we've been able to get to St Andrew's and then be back home to Zoom. But that's no longer the case, unfortunately.
Okay, well, if there is nothing else, I just remind everybody that there are morning prayers on Zoom at 11 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday and Friday this coming week, to which all are welcome. And the connection details are the same details as you used to join the service this morning. Having said that, then, let's all give greetings to each other and say farewell to each other as we depart to enjoy the rest of our day.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Daniel.
Bye. Bye. Bye, everybody. God bless. God bless. Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Lovely.
That wasn't showing.
What's that? Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Okay. Bye then.
Yeah, bye. Bye. Thanks, Adrian.
Hey, thanks, Paul.